I saw a headline in the New York Post the other day that made me wonder if everything is okay with our friends in blue over in the New York City Police Department. We know that the New York Post is usually an outlet that backs the blue 100%. I'm not saying they're not in this article. But at the same time, if they're calling out a problem, is it actually happening? Joining us now to discuss this headline, scrutinized female cops fleeing the NYPD over anti-police climate and sexism, is none other than our friend Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, who's a spokesperson for the National Police Association. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Ari, thanks so much for having me. And you know, I was a little surprised when I read this headline because, you know, it's not just women cops that are fleeing the NYPD. They're on track to be about 4,000 police officers short by the end of the year. But apparently there are some problems within the NYPD. But I think I know for a fact that it's much more than what that headline intimates, and we need to dive into it.
So then let's get into the officers who are leaving. Are there 4,000 female cops who are leaving, or are there 4,000 officers who are leaving?
No, it's 4,000 police officers that are leaving the NYPD, whether through retirement or just resigning and taking jobs elsewhere or leaving the profession altogether. But they have had a problem in the NYPD. And again, that's what this article intimates. Now, let's remember the commissioner of the NYPD is a woman, Keyshawn Sewell. She came in from the outside. And by all accounts, she is an extremely professional, knowledgeable commissioner. But then they have the head of training for the NYPD, who has since been left for another job. But that's Juanita Holmes, again, a female. So they have a lot of female leadership in the NYPD. But Juanita Holmes made headlines a few weeks ago because she said that she wants to eliminate the 1.5-mile timed run in police testing so that, the NYPD can get more women to join. And when she got pushback on this, she said, well, no police officer chases anybody for a mile and a half. And that caused a lot of frustration, not just in the NYPD, but nationwide, because that's not why we have police officers run. We don't have them run a mile and a half in a certain amount of time to be able to chase people. We want to test their cardiovascular fitness. And the commissioner, Commissioner Sewell, pushed back on that and said, that's ridiculous. Women can run just as well as men can. And now Juanita Holmes has been transferred. She actually went to a different job. But there's a lot of talk that the mayor doesn't particularly respect the police commissioner, who is female, and that's frustrating a lot of women.
So looking at this a little bit more specifically, I mean, let's take fire departments for a minute. We know there are female firefighters, and we know they have to carry a certain amount of weight so they can rescue people, so they can save people. They test all your physical limits at the fire academy. I assume they do the same thing at the police academy. They do the same thing in the military. Shouldn't it just be if you can fit the physical requirements, you're good to go? Otherwise, we have these other jobs we'd be more than happy to have you do.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, Ari, I was a female cop for 29 years. So can women do the job? Of course. And I am one of maybe 10 national level female police trainers in this country. And I do training specific to female officers. And do they have frustrations? Do they experience sexism? Do they experience, discrimination, things like that? Of course, everyone experiences some sort of workplace problem. But do I think that it's an organizationally wide issue with the NYPD and, frankly, and everywhere else in the country? Frankly, I do not. Women are about 10% of the police force nationally. It's been that way for about the last 20 years. Not every woman is attracted to this profession, and not every woman can do this job. We need to encourage all people, not just women, but everyone, to come to the law enforcement profession, because we are bleeding cops nationwide. And as you and I have discussed in the past, it's becoming a real safety problem for the entire nation.
Sure, we're having the exact same issue here in Seattle. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sergeant Betsy Brandner-Smith from the National Police Foundation Association, excuse me. And with regard to all this, I mean, look, I know I couldn't pass these physical requirements right now. I completely let myself go during COVID. I couldn't do this at all. But I look at these things and I kind of wonder, I've been running into more and more, for lack of a better word, progressive police officers, progressive firefighters, progressive city officials. It seems to me like a lot of cities like Seattle want to see a lot of people leave the profession. It's not that they want to abolish the police. They want to replace them with the people who agree with them. I mean, otherwise, what rationale could there be for keeping the vax mandate in place for a lot of these places or not hiring back the people who got fired because of it?
Well, and that's the thing. When you look at the vax mandates, that was just a backdoor way to defund the police or to eliminate good quality police officers and firefighters from serving publicly. And when we look at fitness standards for law enforcement, you hear a lot of progressives say, oh, well, you're leaving out women and you're leaving out small people and this and that. We, if nothing else, people need to look at that body camera from Nashville, Tennessee, from the school shooting a few days ago, and look at the physicality of every one of those patrol officers who responded, ran up the stairs, ran down hallways, ran fast toward the shots. You need to be physically fit to be an effective police officer, and we have got to stop lowering standards physically as well as academically.
You know, that's a great point you bring up. I watched that video. I think there were four or five different body camera angles that were released of the school shooting. And I'm watching this thing, and here's what struck out in my mind. I'm used to watching movies, right? You deal with this stuff all the time, but I'm used to watching movies. And when you watch movies, it looks coordinated. This looked coordinated, but still adapting. Because movies are choreographed. This is what these guys were trained to do. The professionalism I saw on display there was remarkable. And then you contrast this with what happened in Uvalde. You look at when they heard the gunshots, they immediately pivoted and said, we're going the wrong way. We got to go towards the fire. That's absolutely nuts. I assume these guys are getting the credit they so rightly deserve. But what a lot of people don't realize is I think I saw a kid's body in one of those videos as they were running past it. The other stuff they had to see at the time, they probably don't feel like heroes. They probably feel like they couldn't get there soon enough.
No police officer wants to see and do what these police officers saw and did in Nashville, Tennessee, but it's our job. And with that police department, it started obviously at the top. We heard the police chief talk to the media within hours and say, you know what? We talked about Uvalde as an organization and we all agreed we did not want to be those guys. And so what were we going to do if that happened in our city? We were going to respond and we were going to respond with strength, with might, and with the mindset of knowing that we are going to sacrifice our own lives for the lives of children. And that's exactly what those officers did. They ran towards the shots, they stopped the threat, and they saved as many children as they could. Tragically, we lost three children and three staff members who also acted heroically, I might add. American law enforcement and those types of educators need to be lifted up.
I agree. I'm worried that we spend so much time talking about the politics of the shooting that people aren't talking about those heroes, the teachers, the police officers, the first responders who dealt with this whole thing, because really it's miraculous more people weren't killed. And it's amazing to me how quickly an end was put to this. I mean, what, within 13 minutes, the shooter was down? That's unheard of. 14 minutes, right, exactly.
14 minutes start to finish, and that rather than waiting around for an hour and a half in the hallways, and as several officers from Uvalde just said publicly a few days ago, well, we couldn't go in there because we knew he had an AR-15. That's insane, that's cowardly, and that can never happen again.
Sergeant Betsy Brandner-Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association, thank you as always for joining us, and thank you so much. I'm just saying thank you on behalf of everybody, to send to those officers for what they did, to send to those first responders for what they did, all the men and women of police departments across this country, they do something that a lot of us can't do, and we are forever in their debt.
Thank you, Ari, so much. We so appreciate your support.